This message is presented to you by Christian Celebration Center. Our prayer is that you enjoy this recording and that it's a blessing to your life. You can find all of our resources by visiting cccmidland.com.
Your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We've been in a series called God's Best, and we're back in there today. We've been talking about some of the things in the letter to the Ephesians that Paul the Apostle highlighted, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Some of the best things that God grants us and makes available to us. We've talked about being in Christ, seated in Christ. We've talked about having red carpet access to God. We've talked about the continual presence of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about another one today. Another spiritual blessing that God pours out to the believers that we get to experience. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word, Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to begin with verse number 10. The Word of the Lord says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Lord, we thank you for the encouragement, the admonition, the inspiration, and the power that we find in your word. And may your word go forth deep into our hearts, affecting how we live. In your name, amen. You can be seated. Well, Lacey and I were out of town for a couple days this week, 3 days, and it was a getaway that we had planned a while back just to focus in on our marriage and just each other, and we had been looking forward to it for a long time. And the way it worked out, here we were at the end of February, and we had phenomenal weather. I mean, everybody enjoyed that. Where we were at, it was in mid-50s, and it's usually probably like 50 below. You know, I don't know what it is normally, but it was beautiful and didn't have to wear heavy coats, and it was so great. And we found that on our first day away that it was kind of weird. I don't know if you've ever experienced that when you leave a busy schedule and you get away, that it's just kind of strange. There was no schedule. There was no agenda. There were no emails to answer, no problems to solve. There was not taking anyone to school or picking them up. I mean, just none of that. It was just relaxing time. The hardest part that I had, the hardest and most difficult challenge that I had in our 3 days away was just finding a chair somewhere in the store while Lacey shopped. I mean, that was like the most difficult thing I had to figure out. I don't know if any of you guys can relate to that, but I have, yeah, right there. We have a witness over here on the left. And it was the most difficult things, but yet some of these stores provided those, and I was so thankful. It was so relaxing, it was so nice, but we realized during that time away that it wasn't normal. That wasn't normal life. We know that normal often equals challenging, right? We face interruptions to our schedules. There's news that we didn't expect we were going to hear. The kids might get sick. We just have things happening, and sometimes it might even feel like life is a bit out of control. Maybe something like this.
This is me trying not to have a panic attack. I should be happy that they're making me breakfast. Instead, all I see is salmonella. Salmonella everywhere. On the floor, on the counter, on my children. I'm a salmonella phobe. Last week, this happened to a doll, and I burned it. Okay, so I didn't realize that that was Bailey's favorite doll. And I do feel bad about that.
We're gonna play a little game. Everybody freeze!
Beck? No, do not put that. Oh, no. No, no. He's going to eat it. He's going to put that in his mouth and become one of the estimated 400 people that die from acute salmonella poisoning, which I read about on a blog somewhere. Yeah. Okay, I got to go.
Do not put that finger in.
I don't know if any of you had a day like that this week when things just seem to be out of control. We have challenging days, and then there are those really, really challenging days when you get the news from the doctor's office, or a loved one passes away, or something happens that's so grave that you don't even know how you're going to get through it. We can't just choose to not have challenging days. Everyone has them. Everyone has them. Or we might say it somewhat like King David in the Old Testament might have said. Everyone has Ziklag days. Ziklag was a country town that the Philistines gave David for his men to live in. And so he and his 600 men and their families and his family lived in the town of Ziklag. And one day, after leaving a battle scene, they returned home to Ziklag. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, we pick up with what happened. It says, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag, that's their home, and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. And when David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. That is a challenging day. Their house was torched. Their wives, their children, their parents, everybody was gone. No ransom note, no information about where they went. All they know is they came back from a battle scene to devastation, and there was no living being in that entire town. So what do you do? Well, verse 4 in 1 Samuel 30 says, so David and his men wept aloud, and they wept until they had no strength left to weep. They wept. I mean, wouldn't you weep in a moment like that? And then the men did the only other thing that they knew to do in their most challenging day. They blamed someone. And isn't that just like we are? If something goes wrong, there's somebody to blame, right? Somebody messed up. Somebody ripped us off. It's somebody's fault. And these men, these 600 men, began to look around because they were trying to find someone to blame. And the lucky one was David. Here's what it says. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. I mean, try to put yourself in his shoes for a minute. Horrible day. Your homes are gone. Your possessions are all burned up. Your wives, your kids, they're all gone. And then, not only that, your best friends, or your so-called friends, are so out of their mind mad at you that they're ready to throw stones at you. And you look over and hear your buddies, and they're over whispering. They're picking up large boulders, and they're glancing in your direction. That is a really, really bad day. Remember, we can't choose to just not have challenging days. Everyone has them. But how you respond when you're facing a Ziklag day makes all the difference in the world. And I want you to see how David responded. You see this in verse 6. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of devastation, in the midst of his life being in danger, it says this, but David found strength in the Lord his God. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Chaos. It was an inferno around him. But David found strength in the Lord his God. The New King James says David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And as he began to seek the Lord gave him guidance. Okay, this is what you need to do. And he got the green light to go. So he and his men went out, even though they didn't even know where they were going at that point. The Lord led them, and they were able to recover everything and everyone. And after that, David had the greatest victories in his life very soon after that. And I'm so thankful for all of that. But what my biggest takeaway is, as I read this passage, is what David did in his most difficult Ziklag day. He found strength in the Lord his God. And as you read through the Psalms, you see how he did that. You see his heart. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you. In his most difficult Ziklag day, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. even as his friends were picking up those boulders to throw at him, "Oh God, you are my refuge and my strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble." He found strength in the Lord his God, which is so closely connected to our text this morning, Ephesians 6, verse 10, which says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And fast forwarding then to the New Testament, where we are right now for our message, Paul the Apostle is speaking to the Ephesians. And he's speaking to them about real life challenges that these real people are facing. I mean, Paul himself, as he wrote the letter to the Ephesians, was sitting in a Roman prison, which was not really known to be a nice place. And he's writing to the Ephesians about their past and about sin and about evil in the world. And he's writing to them about real life things like work, real life things about getting along with other people, real life things about being a husband and being a wife, responsibilities that children have in honoring their parents. And he speaks to parents about the responsibilities and the huge job they have in raising their kids up in the way that they should go. And after listing all of these, might say, challenges in 4, 5, and 6 of this letter, as he gets to the end of chapter 6, he says, okay, after I've said all these things, finally. What is he saying? He's saying, okay, yes, life can be challenging. Yes, there are all these things that are so important for us to take care of and to walk through and to deal with. But finally, there's one more thing I want to say. There's one thing I want to mention to you to kind of cap off this discussion in the letter to the Ephesians. It's like he's saying, whatever you're facing and whatever Ziklag day you're going through right now, I want to say one last thing. There's one last thing that remains. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Church, I don't want you ever to underestimate the power that God has. Because God's power is greater than anything that we could ever imagine. And we go through difficult things and we go through challenging things, but I tell you what, there is no limit to the power of God that we can experience in our lives. And as Paul began this letter, he said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Every spiritual blessing in Christ. And we see in chapter 6 the part of the immense, astounding blessing that God grants to us is his mighty power that gives us the grace and the ability and the empowerment to live out the life he's called us to live. David was a mighty warrior. He had 600 soldiers that were following him. In many ways, you could say that he had it all together. He had things going for him. Even the enemy of his ethnicity was giving him land to live in. They were protecting him. David had all these things going for him. He was a mighty warrior. But he found out when he faced Ziklag day that he didn't have what it took. He found out in the midst of that Ziklag day that he didn't have the strength that he needed to keep going in and of itself. And when you and I realize that our strength and our experience and our charisma and our personality and our money and our knowledge isn't enough, then we are on track to experience the flow of God's power in our life. Because his strength is made perfect in our weakness. God has the power to create the world, the power to part the Red Sea, the power to provide food for over 1 million people for 40 years, the power to work in someone's life, the power to change a family, as we heard last week in the message. And he grants us the power to forgive, and the power to love, and the power to persevere, and the power to win. Now, Ephesians chapter 6 describes to us why we need this power. You might be thinking, well, my life's going pretty well right now. That's awesome. Or your life might be very difficult right now. Whatever the case, Ephesians chapter 6 paints the accurate and, I'll be honest, somewhat menacing picture of why we need God's power in our lives every single day. Look in verse 12. It says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." The struggle is real for a believer. We can't overlook the real enemy. Because there is a real enemy who schemes against the church, who schemes against our families, who schemes against us as individuals. He's the accuser of the brethren. And like it or not, as a believer in Jesus Christ, if that's where you find yourselves today, he wants to attack you. He wants to scheme against you. It's so vital for us to understand who we're struggling against. It's not your wife. It's not your boss. It's not even your mother-in-law. It's not. I like watching my kids play basketball. And something that I've noticed happens at times is if there's a loose ball, ball's over here, comes off the rim, people going for a rebound, and if two guys from the same team grab onto the ball, what do the other teammates and the coach and the crowd yell? Same team! Same team! Why? Because you don't want two people on the same team wrestling against each other. You're working together for the same goal. And sometimes what happens is when they're both wrestling for the ball and people are yelling, same team, but they're not listening because they just want that ball so bad, sometimes that ball pops out and the opposing team gets it and they have an easy score. And so the coach and the crowd yell out, same team. And sometimes I want to yell that out to husbands and wives who are struggling. Same team. Sometimes I want to yell that out to families that are having tension. Kids, parents, in-laws, grandparents, same team. Believers in Jesus Christ, same team. Churches in our community that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, same team. We have to understand who the struggle is against. It is not against each other. Paul says it is not against flesh and blood. It is against darkness. Because the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He attacks because he wants to reclaim you and me as his possession. Well, that's not going to happen. Therefore, we struggle. Paul used this word struggle. In some translations, it's fight. Some translation, it's wrestle. And really, it is like an intense wrestling term. In the by definition, it means a contest between two where each tries to throw the other one off and pin them down and hold their opponent down by their neck. Now, it sounds more like a cage fight to me, but I don't know. But the reality is that the struggle is absolutely 100% real. And I'm not saying that every challenge you face is due to an attack of the enemy. But I will say this. The reality is that we're walking through the muddy fields of life, aren't we? With daily choices and decisions and situations that we're facing. And not only that, we've got a real enemy that is attacking those who are followers of Jesus Christ. Can't overlook the real enemy. We can't overlook the fact that sometimes we face Ziklag days. Now, God is all-powerful. He is all-powerful. But I don't want you to miss the part that you are to play in this struggle. God makes it clear there's a struggle. Paul makes it clear in the Holy Spirit-inspired letter to the Ephesians that the enemy is the struggle. The darkness is the struggle. He's coming after believers. But yet you and I, as followers of Jesus, have a part in this struggle. Lacey was watching Shark Tank a little while back, and I glanced over in this one part when an entrepreneur came out to pitch the product. And they are before the sharks, and they're ready. They're so excited. This is a chance of a lifetime for them, I'm sure, as they step out, TV audience, and they said, and my product is... And their product is right there. It is all laid out. You know, you got all the graphs and the table. Everything is right there. Totally froze. Maybe you've seen that episode. The guy totally freezes up. I felt so bad for him. And he totally missed the opportunity to share his product with those people and to get them to accept it and invest in it. I mean, what if David would have missed the moment as he is sitting there weeping with 600 men in Ziklag, the worst day of his life? What if he had missed the moment? Well, most likely his so-called friends would have killed him. But he didn't miss the moment. What does it say? It says he strengthened himself in the Lord. In that moment, he strengthened himself in the Lord. When everything was crowding in on him, he strengthened himself in the Lord. You have a part to play. You are invited to experience God's best. You're invited to experience his power in your life. But you and I have a part to play in this. Look at verse 13. It says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. After you have done everything, to stand. And this scripture references the full armor of God, which is part of God's best. The Lord willing, I'll be speaking on that next week or the week after. But in this scripture, we see a word that is so powerful if we live it out, and that is the word stand. Put on the whole armor of God and stand. Stand your ground. It literally means to hold your ground. When you think of armies, you think of armies being sent out to march back in the day, right? They marched out to the battlefield. They're marching against the enemy. They're marching against the opposition or the darkness, and they're marching out. They got their armor on. They're ready to go toe-to-toe, see some action. They're there to go out to occupy and to subdue. But God never tells us to do that. In this text, he says, I'm not telling you to march and go out toe-to-toe with the enemy. He just says, stand, hold your ground. Why? Because God's already won. God's already taken the ground. God's already conquered the enemy. He's already won. He doesn't tell us to go, win it for God. Win it for God. God needs our help. Really? Let me tell you how much God needs our help. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul, once again, the apostle, is writing to the believers in Thessalonia. And he's talking about the end times and the last days. And he said there's going to be a man of lawlessness that kind of puts himself up and tries to get people to believe that he is God. Come worship him. And Paul says right there in the scripture, he's like, yeah, this is the man of lawlessness. And, you know, at first glance, you're like, oh, we should be scared. And then he's like, whom the Lord Jesus will slay with the breath of his mouth. And I love that, because sometimes we get so worried and troubled about a lot of different things happening in our life. And there will come a day when Jesus is like this. I mean, just, and the enemy's gone. I mean, like that, boom. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. And so the Lord tells us in Ephesians 6, we're not sent out to march and run, to fret and try to figure, no, just stand. Stand your ground. Hold your ground. 1 Corinthians 6 says, now God has not only raised the Lord, but he will also raise us up through his power. The enemy's defeat is already a fact, and that's why we are more than conquerors in Christ. This is so important to remember as we go through this week. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. Hallelujah. We don't fight for victory as a believer. We fight from victory because he's already won. He's already conquered sin, death, and the grave. He's already won. We don't fight to win because in Christ we've already won. If you're already holding the championship trophy, you don't have to go back out on the court. You've already won. If you've already got the Super Bowl ring on your finger, the next day you don't have to go out and try to fight for the championship. You've already won. And in Christ, we have already won. So what do you do when you weep and you can weep no more? What do you do when you face challenging days? What do you do when the enemy attacks you? What do you do when you're right smack in the middle of a Ziklag day? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. As David did, strengthen yourself in the Lord. The same word used in Ephesians chapter 6 for strength is the same word used in a very, very well-known passage. Most of you know it, and that is Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you face your Ziklag day, you stand, but not in your own strength. You stand in His strength. You stand because of His strength. You stand because He's made it possible for you and I to not fall flat on our face, but to actually stand and hold our ground against any attack of the enemy, against any challenge, because He's already won. He's already conquered. He's already victorious. Now, when I read a passage like this, in my mind, I kind of think of it as a stand-up type of passage. I mean, this is one that on your recliner, you can't really meditate on. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I mean, this is a stand-up scripture. So could I ask you please to stand with me? And for a moment, I want you to think about whatever you're facing right now. It might be a Ziklag day. It might be a Ziklag week. It might be a Ziklag situation. Or maybe you'll face one in a week or two or whatever it might be. We can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. His mighty power. And I think it would be very fitting for us to declare this scripture together this morning. Would you repeat after me?
I can.
Do all things.
Through Christ,
who strengthens me. One more.
I can.
Do all things.
Through Christ,
who strengthens me.
Lord,
I thank You for the power and the might that You make possible for us as a believer. That we don't have to worry. We don't have to be troubled. We can trust in You because You've already won. We thank You for Your faithfulness and Your guidance and Your power. Truly, we can do all things through Christ because You are the one who strengthens us. In the name of our powerful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. I know that some of you might be looking at your watch and thinking, greatest message ever. I don't know what he talked about, but well, before we go, we have some things that we want to share with you. I'm asking Pastor Lynn to come, and so the next few moments are moments for the CCC family, and we love this woman that's coming up right now and want to give her opportunity to share something that's on her heart.
It's really with a great amount of thankfulness to God, to Pastor Keith and Lacey, to the church board, and to all of you that I stand up here and make this announcement this morning. My husband Richard has always told me that I needed to be just as sure that I heard the Holy Spirit's voice speak to me as to when to step down from this position as I did when I accepted this position 17 years ago. Having been prompted to fast during the second week of January just to hear God's heart on this matter, I clearly received a confirmation from God that now is the time to step down. I am so thankful to the Lord that He spoke so clearly to me, because this is absolutely, positively one of the hardest things I've ever done. So on February 15th, I turned in my letter of resignation to the board. The last 17 years will always, always be cherished in my heart, as I have truly loved the opportunity to serve all of you and to serve in this manner. Pastor Keith and Lacey, it has been such an honor to work with you guys. I've said that one of my greatest sorrows in all of this is going to be not being able to work with you any longer. I truly love and respect you. I'm excited for what the future holds, as I know that God has a lot of other forms of ministry for me to be involved in, beginning with my family and my beautiful little granddaughter that's in here somewhere. I love this congregation. I love the staff of CCC. Pastor Keith and Lacey, I love you so much. I love the church board and all of the deacons. Thank you, deacons, for what you've done to help me. But this is not goodbye, because Richard and I are planning on staying around until at least he retires, maybe longer. So we're going to go here. We couldn't think of going anywhere else. We love this place so much. So thank you very much.
So I guess now I'll start praying that Rich never retires. It's like 150, you know, it's still going. Well, last January, so January of 2017, Pastor Lynn met with me, and her daughter Sarah was pregnant, and the baby was going to be due in the summer, and she wanted to be grandma. She wanted to be around. She wanted to help care for the baby during the week while Sarah worked. And so February through April last year, we worked really hard. Looking at her job description, ministry description, she was leading so many things, and we were working on, well, what are some things that I could take off of her plate in order to make this work? Why? Because I wanted her around as long as possible. And so we worked hard on that, a lot of meetings, and then coming to August of last year, August 1st, then she officially stepped into that role of being grandma, watching the little one 3 days a week, and then also being care pastor as well, because we both wanted to give it a shot. And she came to me then January 29th, and I had my notes out. I thought we were going to talk about something else, and she comes in like, oh, man. So I put those aside and just began to hear her heart. She let me know that it was time. She let me know it was time. And I asked her, is this what you truly want? Are you at peace with this decision? She emphatically said, yes, absolutely. The Lord had led her to this. And she even said she's as sure this is the time the Lord would have her end as she was sure many years ago when the Lord led her to say yes and to begin as the care pastor. And she has done a phenomenal job caring for the people of this church. Some of you might be wondering, well, when did she begin? Well, this might be hard to believe, but today's a significant day. Because 17 years ago to the day, she began as Christian Celebration Center's care pastor. And today, she announces her resignation. Her last Sunday as the care pastor will be Sunday, April 15th, at which time we'll honor her and take up a love offering. We want to bless her. As a congregation, we want to bless her for 17 years of pastoral care. And there's something that she said to me. Well, it's Pastor Lynn, so a lot of what she says sticks with you, you know what I'm saying? Because like 90% is the Word of God. But there was something that she said to me in one of our meetings as we're trying to figure out the timetable and get that all worked out. She said this as she sat across. She said, I want to do what's best for the church. And I thought, you've done that for 17 years. And so, Pastor Lynn, I'm so thankful for you. And Lacey and I are better just being around you. You are amazing. Rich, thank you for your support. 17 years being support of Pastor Lynn as she's been going every which way, trying her best to care for the people of this church. Well, completely independent of Pastor Lynn, Pastor Leon came to me on February 12th with his own announcement. And so wherever he was at, come on up, Pastor Leon. And we want to give him the opportunity to share what's on his heart as well.
Good morning. Lynn, April 15th, that's tax day. This letter is dated February 12th, 2018. It is with a heart full of gratitude for 35 years of friendship and ministry at Christian Celebration Center that I write this letter. After much prayer and consideration, it has become clear that it is time for me to step down from my position as worship pastor here at CCC. I can hardly put into words the depth of my love for the people of CCC and how thankful I am to have served them for these many years. We have shared some of the most important moments of our lives within the walls of this church. Weddings, funerals, the dedication of children, and perhaps my very favorite, the time spent lingering at the altar collectively worshiping our Lord and Savior. Through triumphs and struggles, laughter and tears, the people of CCC have become my family, and I will cherish the memory of my tenure at Christian Celebration Center all of the days of my life, for God has truly blessed me through all of you. My prayer is that this church would continue to experience intimate worship, the blessing of His presence, and would walk in the increasing favor of God. It is with deep love and appreciation that I submit this letter. Thank you.
Be seated. Good news, we don't have to use this again today. All right, putting that down. Well, I appreciate so much Pastor Leon's transparency with me during this time. He's told me he's been praying about this for a year, and when he shared with me his decision to step out of his pastoral role, I asked him the same question I asked Lynn 2 weeks prior. Do you have a peace about your decision? And without hesitation, he told me he does. He has a peace that now is the time to step into a new season of life. And I want to say this. Pastor Leon could have left a long time ago. Pastor Joel was his close friend. He served with Pastor Joel for, 31 years, the whole time that Pastor Joel was here, and just shy of that as the worship pastor. Pastor Joel was the one who brought him on staff. And we all saw the ministry together. They were partners in ministry. They were partners in ministry on Sundays and throughout the week. And everyone would have understood if he would have stepped out at the same time that Pastor Joel did. But he didn't. And I believe that by staying, the Lord used him in a profound and tremendous way during this transition. He brought continuity. He brought leadership. He brought counsel in our meetings together. We are so thankful for his last 31 years as a worship pastor, but I want to say I am so thankful for the last 10 months that I've stepped into this role as lead pastor to have someone like Pastor Leon with me and leading worship and leading the music ministry and doing it such a great job. Pastor Leon's last Sunday as CCC's worship pastor will be Sunday, March 25th. His last Sunday is Palm Sunday. And that is significant for a lot of reasons, but it's very significant to Pastor Leon because 35 years ago, on Palm Sunday, Pastor Leon first played the organ at Christian Celebration Center. 35 years ago on Palm Sunday. So on that day, a few weeks from now, marking 35 years of volunteer and then paid ministry in this church, we're going to honor him as well and take up a love offering to bless him. Now, ever since I assumed this role as lead pastor, I let Lynn and Leon both know I wanted them to be a part of this team. They're both truly incredible people and pastors. But unbeknownst to either of them, the other had come to me privately with the peace they had with their decision. And they're convinced that this is the right time for them to step into a new season that the Lord has for them. I'm reminded of 1 Timothy chapter 1, which says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him. And I thank the Lord for giving strength to Pastor Lynn and to Pastor Leon for all these years so that they could do the work of God. I believe that they were appointed by the Lord to serve here in this place and in this way. And even though we might not like this, we now, as a church family, have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to accept their decisions, to honor them for decades, decades of faithful ministry, honor their prayerful decision to step into new seasons. I'm asking you to join me, the pastoral staff and the board. Let's be supportive of them. Let's care for them during this time. Now, one of the ways that we can care for Lynn and Leon right now is to give them the opportunity to share their prayerful decisions with those in the second service, okay? So whenever we leave, please don't share this in the hallways with those coming in. And then obviously, please don't share anything on social media until after 12:30 today, just so they can have the opportunity. Now, whenever there's a resignation, questions arise immediately about what's next for these particular ministries. I know some of you are already going to line up right after this service and start asking me. Well, I want you to know that after each of these meetings with Pastor Lynn and Leon, I went to prayer. And praying with a thankful heart for what's happened in the past. And praying with a faith-filled heart for what God has in the future. I'm seeking God for what the future of these ministries look like. And through prayer, I want you to know that God has given me a complete peace. A complete peace about their decisions and about the timing of their decisions. CCC, we're going to be more than just okay. God's going to lead us forward into an exciting future that he has for us. And I have been already and will continue to work extremely hard to be led by the Lord in order for the right people to be in the right places as we move forward into the future. I want to thank the church board and the pastoral staff for their prayerful support during this time. They have been an unbelievable godsend for Lacey and I and the church for this time. And I want to ask all of you, would you be in prayer? Would you pray for me? Would you pray for this church? God has plans that far exceed anything that any human being could come up with. And we're excited to experience those. Next Sunday, the Lord willing, I plan to share what the immediate future looks like for these particular ministries, and I look forward to next Sunday. Would you please stand? I just thank the Lord for his faithfulness. Before Pastor Lynn or Pastor Leon had come to me, I had already begun working on the message for today. And God is so faithful. He knows what we need, not just for today, but he knows what we need in the different situations that all of us are walking through this week. We can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his mind. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. You have guided this church since its inception. For decades, Lord, you have done miracles. For decades, you have provided. You are the generous God. And so, Lord, we pray that out of your generosity that you will bless Pastor Lynn and Pastor Leon as they walk through these next several weeks. Help us as a church and as friends to care for them and to support them and to bless them. And Lord, I pray for everyone that is here in this place that you will pour out your favor on them. Remind them when the going gets tough this week and whatever they're dealing with. It might even be a Ziklag day. Lord, that they can find their strength in you. In your mighty power. And so, Lord, as we walk out from here, we stand. We hold the ground that you have already conquered, that you've already won. Therefore, we are overcomers. Therefore, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We praise you, God, for meeting with us today. And we praise you that as we leave here, we can walk with you. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.
Thanks for listening to Christian Celebration Center podcast. We hope that you found this helpful. For more sermons, service times, or to start your next steps, visit our website at cccmidland.com.